Okay, good evening, everyone. This is Gordon W2, Tango, 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 and this is the Bergen Radio Association Technical Net that meets weekly on a frequency of 146.955 megahertz Alpine commuter repeater of the Chestnut Ridge Radio Club. Are there any stations with emergency or priority traffic? Please call KGBAR. Very good. Again, this is WTTT, and my name is Gordon, and tonight we're going to have a technical net. The technical net is a conversation about amateur radio, telecommunications, electronics, computers, the underlying science in what we do, what drives what we do, the fun experiences we have, the challenges we've had, the things we've done, the things we'd like to do. And I'm sure we'll have a pretty interesting net tonight. Looking forward to everybody joining us. In any case, we check into this net a little differently than other nets. Since this net is a conversation, we need to know who's there. And part of knowing who's there is checking in. And very often stations don't check in because, well, I don't have anything to say, I don't have anything to sell, blah, 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 or trade or swap. So we encourage you to check in anyway because we kind of steer the net kind of as a function of who we know is out there. And so it's really, really helpful to get your input. In any case, so let's move this along and start. Call stations to check in with their call sign, their name, and indicate whether they have a question, a comment, a for sale or swap item, or or any other combination of those things, or none of the above. So, with no further ado, stations whose call signs begin with the letter November, please call K2BAR. Okay, we're Novemberless, I guess. Let's try whiskey.
WA2UNP, Jim in Pearl River, New York. Just listening this evening. Good evening, Gordon.
Good evening, Jim. You're a little edge there, but we got every word. But just be advised that you're a little ragged. Very good, and welcome to you. Any other whiskeys?
W2JEK, Don, with a question and a comment.
Good evening, Don. I have a question and a comment. Your comment first. We'll roll right into your question. All right, very good. Any other whiskeys?
W2NPR, Hector, no questions or comments at this time.
Very good, Hector. I'm glad to hear you're on the mend. I actually would like to hear what interesting devices they put in one or both knees for you. I may be going down that path and at some time, point in the future. All right, any other whiskeys?
WY2LYP, Bill, Rivervale, just lurking.
Okay, I got LYP. It's the station underneath you who lost. Who was that?
W2ATP, Paul, Huntington Park, none of the above.
Evening, Paul. All right, any other whiskeys? Let's go to the kilos.
K2EIR, Howie in Tarrytown. I have nothing. Good evening.
Evening, Howie. Wow, nothing. Usually have three questions, a comment, and a partridge in a pear tree. All right, very good. Any other kilos?
KD2CRV, Sue in Milford, with a question.
KC2CRV, CRB, pardon me. Good evening, Stu. We got your question. Any other, any other kilos? All righty. How about alphas?
Alpha Charlie 2 Tango. Paul in Yonkers.
And Paul, what's your pleasure tonight?
What did you say, Gordon? I think we doubled.
I just want to know what your pleasure was. Will you have a question or comment or for sale or swap item?
No comment. We'll be just listening. If something comes up, I'll pop in.
Most excellent. Okay, very good. Thank you, Paul. Any stations on Echolink? Okay, very good. All right, any stations who are late check-ins to the net, please call KQBAR. Any call sign?
82DDK.
Okay, Mr. Gary, your pleasure?
Barking. I like that.
Okay, very good, Gary. Anybody else? All righty. Well, with no further ado, I have one quick announcement. Those of you who are looking for fiberglass poles, we have a limited stock, and we're going to have to make, Gary and I are going to have to make decisions of whether we're going to part with them at this point, because we're kind of down to that level of inventory, and we've determined that we cannot get more from our sources. We are racking our brains for that, but I'm sure that those who have them are happy, and our source has nothing related to that at all. Zero, zip, nada. No poles, no accessories, no aluminum poles, nothing. So that was good while it lasted, but and I want to thank everybody who did take interest in those, and we'll go from there. Gary can help you, and I can help you if you need any more, but we're kind of low on the inventory. So, with that in mind, I bring that up. Now, Mr. Don, over to you. First, your comment, then your question. W2JEK, K2BAR.
At K2BAR, and then at W2JEK. Okay, my comment first is that the Barrow will be running a VE test session at the HamFest, which is on October 12th. The test session will start at 8 o'clock in the morning. So, if you're coming, you need $15 for the test fee, an identification like a driver's license or a passport. And if you are licensed, we need to see your original license, and we need a copy of that license. And I guess that's about it. If you want to use a calculator, you could bring one. There has to be nothing in the memory. Devices other than a calculator, such as an iPod or a cell phone, may not be used as a calculator. And I guess that's what I have about that right now. Unless anybody has some questions, I'll turn it back to Net, W2JEK.
Test session or testing and licensing in general. Alrighty. Well, thank you, Don. Do you want to move on to your question?
Before I move on to that, I just remind anybody that has ever had a technician license issued before March 21st, 1987. And you may have come back, we had a fellow come back into ham radio who was licensed as a tech before 1987, and his license had expired. So to get back into ham radio, he took the technician exam. But because he had the tech license from that era, we could grandfather him into the as a general. And he was up to general, and then he went and took the extra test and passed that. But if you're a tech and you were a tech at one time back in those in that era, you could be grandfathered into a general. So if you think you need think you're in that category, you can. It's easy enough to do a test, go to a test session, and we have what we call a paper upgrade. So if you know you're in that situation, get in touch with me. Anyway. Back to not any questions about that.
Permission in order to do a paper upgrade. I'm sorry, I somehow unkeyed. if they've let their license lapse and they were a ham before 1987, at least a technician, do they have to take the written at all, or do they take the technician written and automatically become a general via paper?
Yeah, well, basically what happens, like this fellow we just had a recent test session, once your license has expired and it's beyond the grace period, and anything that expire like that, we do have technicians now who were in that era, who are technicians, and they come in from time to time to the test session, and all we have to do is paper upgrade them to a general. Now, in this case, this fellow had his license had expired, and it was beyond the grace period. So, in order to establish himself as a ham, he had to take and pass the current technician exam. At which point, we then took the information that he from his previous license and did a paper upgrade to a general, because that license and that exam in that area was the same as the general. The only difference was the technicians in those days had a 5-word per minute code test, and the generals had a 13-word per minute code test. So that, but the exam was the same for both licenses. So that's what happened. Back to net.
Okay. Sorry about that. Very good. That's good to know. All right. Anybody else? And by the way, that paper upgrade process works very nicely. NSWFWI was one of those technicians. It took me like 8 years for her to do the paperwork to become a general, but by gosh, she's a general. She had passed not only the old written test, but she had taken the 5-word-a-minute CW test, too, back then. All righty. Don, you want to go on with your question now?
Yeah, okay. Thank you. Okay, very good. Yes. All right. I have a Yaesu FT840, which is 16 years old, and it died on me the other day. And going through this thing, I determined that the power problem, the 5 volts is kaput. There are two regulators in there. The one takes the 13 volts and creates a 9-volt power bus, and then there's another power bus that goes to a regulator from the 13 volts, creates a 5 volts. And in the past, I've had problems with the 9-volt, and I found that it was a defective capacitor that I replaced, and after replacing the capacitor, the radio worked. This time, let me stop a second. And this time, it was the 5 volts that went out. I'm still getting the 9 volts because I know my the power lamp on my S meter runs on 9 volts, but the LCD screen was dead. I had the thing apart to the point where I could test, and sure enough, see where the 13 volts come into the 9 volt regulator and 9 volts comes out of it, and then go to where the 5 volt regulator is, I can see 13 volts going in, and about 0.4 of a volt coming out. What happened, I opened the thing up, I saw a capacitor that looked bad, I replaced that, and it still failed, and then I double checked the regulator, and then I checked, and I replaced the capacitor with another capacitor to the good chance that the one I put in was bad, still bad. Now I'm looking, who does repairs on these kind of radios? That would be the answer I'm looking for. I know probably Yaesu might, and there might be other people in the business. So that's my question. Back to net, W2JK.
Well, a couple of choices there. a guy who does some radio repair. You can call over there on a Monday, Wednesday, or Friday afternoon and ask if he's willing to look at it. AK2F does it, but I don't know what he charges for such things, but he's been known to do some little pin money kind of stuff, and it sounds like it's up his alley. There's a guy in New York who's a ripoff, but he does really good work. I mean, he's just really expensive. That comes to mind. And I think there's a couple of guys. I know there's guys who do ICOM in Kenwood. I would assume there's somebody. Oh, you know who might? Try International Radio. You can find them in the ham magazines, International Radio. They might do it as well. K1JMI. Go ahead. Thanks, Dick.
Ken, WA2LBI.
Ken will do it. WA2LBI. That's awesome. Don, do you know Ken?
No, Ken, no.
Ken is the president of Chestnut Ridge, last I looked. I think at this point he's president for life, because we just need a president on paper, right? Is that how it works, Dick?
Well, he finally got out of it. He is now president emeritus.
I'm sorry. Who's our current president now?
You'll die when you remember. Of course, it's K2FJ.
Oh, duh. Okay. Well, that's fine. That works for me. All right. Very good. So, WA2 Lima Bravo India, Don. He's not on the air very often, but I think he's good in the call book, and I think the phone book. And if nothing else, you can send an email to me or Dick, and we can forward it on to him and copy you.
Okay, well, I got some good leads there, so I'll have to look up and see what's what. I imagine if worse came to worse, then all else fails. I don't know, would the ASO be able to handle this? Do they do repairs on equipment at all?
Maybe. The problem with the ASO is, they've gone through so many corporate incarnations in the last 15 years, you know?
Yeah, I get you. Okay, very good. All right, I think that answers my question. I thank you much, and thank you to all the help. Back to that, W2JK.
Just out of curiosity, are you getting power on the input of the regulator? And if so, is it what you normally expect? And what are you getting on the output of the regulator of the bus?
Okay, I'm getting about 13 volts or whatever on the input. I'm getting 0.45 volts on the output, where I should have about 5. Now, what I did do, I had this thing apart to the point where I could get it to regulator without anything attached to it. It has a slide-in fit to a socket on the regulator assembly. Has a slide-in fit on a socket to the one printed circuit board. And taking the thing apart, I was able to put 9 volts into the regulator where the 12 volt goes, and see 5 volts coming out. So the regulator looks good.
So if you need it 9 volts, it's working. The 5 volts, you're getting 5 volts out. But the trick is to get from 13 to 9, that's your problem?
No, the problem is that once I put this thing together, once I push this thing together and put the load on it, and that's without any kind of a load, I've just got the voltmeter on it. But once I push this, these 6 pins actually, 3 for the 9 volt, 3 for the 5 volt, and you push these assembly together, now you've got the load on the regulator for the regulators. And in this case, there's something there that must be loading it down somehow.
Have you thought about putting a separate 9 or 5 volt regulator
or voltage on that bus, just to see if an external regulator will deliver the voltage it needs without loading down?
No, it wouldn't be feasible to do that, I don't think. I don't know how I'd do that.
Well, how much current do you need at 5 volts and how much do you need at 9?
I don't know. I mean, these things probably only go for about an amp each, 78009 or something like that type of thing with a TL220 casing.
Yeah, why don't you whip yourself an external supply and try to feed it in? That might be entertaining, if nothing else. Just make sure you bring up all the voltages together, the 13, the 9, and the 5.
Yeah, I don't know that I want to get into something like that. Because I think there's something there. If I could figure out how to open this thing, open these leads up at points there, I was looking for one place. There's one that has an 11-pin jack on it. So I was thinking, well, pull that apart and see whether I get my voltage back up at the output of the regulator and see which side, where the light might be loaded down. Because it, of course, the 5-volt goes all over the place. It feeds the LCD screen, and it feeds a whole lot of the goodies inside the box here.
Okay. That makes sense. All righty. Well, boy, devils can't buy a goal tonight. My God. Anyway. All right. Very good. Anybody else have any thoughts for Don?
A2EIR.
At Howie.
It's sort of peripheral, but JT, I'm trying to remember the name of the outfit, I always, MPJA, right, Marlon Jones and Associates in Florida, they sell surplus stuff. One of the things they tend to sell again and again is, or are some variable voltage supplies, and they're not, most of the ones they have are not terribly expensive, so if you want to invest in a bench supply, you know, of a couple of amps that's variable voltage, they sell them probably a lot less than Radio Shack has in the past. And of course, it occurs to me that it would be a grand thing if a club might buy something like that, or especially the more high amperage model, so that it would be available to people who need to borrow it, but just some idle thoughts. K2EIR.
Yeah, you know, if you're going to go down that route and he only needs a few amps, you could also get these little modules that you use to take 12 volts or 13 volts and give you anywhere from about 8 volts to about 28 volts. They're variable. They're meant to run power, you know, things like laptops and things like that, but they're variable. So that might be something to think about, too. Okay, very good. Go ahead, Doc.
Okay, very good. Thank you, Gordon. Thank you, Howie. Yeah, but I tell you, I have a 5-volt power supply sitting down the cellar. Paul gave me a couple of them that were from some kind of a electronics outfit out in Pennsylvania, but I have to figure out how to run down the cause of this thing here. Knowing that the regulator does function, it's just that if I put 12 volts on the thing, I'm sure that I would still get 5 volts out of it. That's what I'm saying. I don't think I'm getting that much of a function out of the regulator per se. Because after that, it goes through this one capacitor that was 10 microfarad to ground after that, and then there's also a dot 1 microfarad to ground, which is a service mount device. So, and that's just soldered down, you know, right on the printed circuit board. So, you know, it's getting pretty hairy when you get to deal with things like that. Back to that, W2JK.
Yeah, I know. The modern electronics are tight. They really are.
All right.
Very, very nice.
All right.
Let's see. So I guess we're done with this topic.
Thank you. W2JK.
Okay, thanks, Don. Very good. All righty. I'm using an ancient Alinco radio that occasionally has some loose push-to-talk problems. I guess the connector, the pins don't bite each other properly. So I got to do something about that. It gets a little loose. Figure out a way to tighten that up in some way. And then I have another radio, a TYT radio, which I have a 2-meter, 220, and 440. But the 2-meter one's been misbehaving. Receives fine. And for a while it wasn't transmitting correctly, but I think that's corrected itself. What's now an issue is that the audio sounds like hell, so maybe there's something about the way the microphone interface, maybe there's something wrong with the cable. It's a Cat 5 type cable, you know how fun they are. Alrighty, I'll work on that in the not too distant future. Our next question is from Stu, KC2CRB. Stu, good evening to you, and maybe we'll see you down at the Fairlawn Club tomorrow, KQBAR.
K2BAR, the KD2CRB. Good evening, everyone. And I want to thank everyone who helped me Tuesday night at Kit Night, at the Barra Kit Night. I was able to get throw together a portable 2-meter antenna, which I plan to use on our next Fox Hunt. So, again, thanks, everyone, for their input. My question is, New York City Marathon's coming up, and I was wondering if anybody has worked it or has been a volunteer, and just what it entails as far as the voluntary ham operator working that marathon. Back to that.
Yeah, that's a great question. Okay. So the New York City Marathon is the first Sunday in November, and basically what it involves is being a communicator along a mile. Chances are your requirements will be to bring a handy talkie and maybe the spare battery just in case. And another goodies, you'll be assigned to a mile, and different miles have different responsibilities, but they all have some common ones, and that is to observe and report. I actually have to check to see if we have any prior commitments that weekend, and if we don't, then I'm going to volunteer. I will say this, you must sign up by Sunday. If anyone needs the registration information, how to sign up, you can email me, w2ttt@arl.net or att.net, and I'll be happy to forward it on to you. Anything else, Mr. Stu?
I was just curious if how they set you up. Is it a net, is it Simplex, or just how you go about getting into their, sharing your communications. Back to that.
Well, in general, 2 meters is used. 440 is also used. In fact, some years 440 is used exclusively on the on main nets, and then the mile captain may establish a 2-meter net typically on a simplex frequency. To talk to the people up and down their mile. Basically, they go about half a mile plus or minus the rest stop area, or probably the rest stop, the mile marker. So mile captain is responsible for plus or minus a half a mile. And he distributes his people as best he can. If he's got a lot, he distributes them well. If he's only got a handful, then he tends to keep them close.
Okay.
Will it require any programming of your handhelds or anything like that, or my QIC can be a little challenging back in there?
It probably will. Yeah, the QIC, you know, you can set up two VFOs and just go AV, and that's usually the quickest way. That's probably your best way to handle it.
Okay then, all right, thank you very much. Again, this is KD2, CRV, back to net.
Yeah, this is the first post-Mendelsohn net, well, I think not the first, the second. Last year we didn't have a marathon because of the weather. All right, very good. Are there any other stations want to check in with Quint? Oh, sorry, I go with that cable again. Are there any other stations that want to check in to the net? It's called K2BAR.
WI2W.
Good evening, Steve. And what's your pleasure?
Good evening. I just wanted to, I've been listening for a little while, just wanted to make a comment that at this Sunday's Barra meeting, our guest speaker, I don't know his name, but he'll be giving a talk on the marathon. So anybody that wants to get some more information, Sunday night's Barra meeting would be great. And that's 7 o'clock at the Senior Center in Washington Township.
Yeah, okay, very good. And in fact, I got to postpone something else in order to attend the Barra meeting. It's no problem. I got plenty of spare weeks to get done what I have to do. I'm doing something on a near weekly basis with the scouts on Sunday night. So we'll make sure that we move this around a bit. Alrighty. Let's see. Anybody need to have directions or more information about the Barra meeting Sunday night? And my guess is it's Tom Raffaele, but I'm not sure.
That sounds right.
Yeah, Tom's good people. He really is. Okay. Alright. Anybody have any further questions about the marathon at the Barra meeting on Sunday night? Okay, are there any other check-ins in that?
KD2DIG.
KD2DIG, go right ahead. What's your pleasure and your name?
Oh, good evening, K2BAR. This is KD2DIG. This is Don, Massapequa, Long Island, New York. Just scrolling around, I've talked on a district repeater late at night, early in the morning in the past, and I heard the net going tonight. I didn't realize there was a net. Just wanted to jump in and say hello. I don't know the nature of the net. I've literally been listening for about a minute, so just wanted to jump in and say hello. KD2DIG, back to net.
All right, very good. Well, Don, you're more than welcome. It's the Bergen Amateur Radio Association technical net. It's open to all hands, so you're more than welcome to check in. Normally we look for questions, comments, discussion items, things you've done, things you haven't done, things you'd like to do, both good and bad, science, technology underneath it all. And of course, we look for, we also look for things to be put in for sale or swap as well. So it's a lot of fun, and we welcome to join. It's 9 o'clock on Thursday nights. Alrighty, let's see. Let me just take a minute here before we move on. I want to thank everybody who for the kind words of encouragement and also the kind words of approbation following the publication of the article on HSMM Mesh in CQ Magazine. We managed to get a really nice article. It's got enough how-to get people going, and it's also, a pretty chatty article about the evolution of things. So, around here for mesh networking. And tomorrow night, I'm going to bring a couple of interesting little mesh nodes, but one
I've packaged with the Raspberry Pi as the node instead of the Linksys router, and I put it in a little case. It's not weatherproof, but it's very cool the way we've set it up, and I'll show it to you. In any case, if you're going to be at the Fairlawn meeting, you're welcome to see that tomorrow night. And again, thanks for the kind words of encouragement, et cetera, during and after the process. Alrighty, any other stations for the net, or any other stations with questions or comments or anything else for the net? Alright, well, I want to thank everybody for checking in tonight. Short net, but a useful one at that. And I've been told that next week when Jim Joyce can join us again, he's got a new variation on the OCF dipole, and he got it to work in such a way that apparently it doesn't even need a tuner, which is kind of interesting. I'll let him explain that more, but even the tuner becomes obsolete in his world. All right, 7-3 for now, and I want to thank the Chestnut Ridge Radio Club for the use of their repeater, and encourage people to support all the clubs that support Barra, the Chestnut Ridge Radio Club for the use of this repeater, and the Bergen County FM Association for the use of the 7-9 repeaters, as well as the 444 and 443 100 machines. Reach out and join. And, if you're coming to the Fairlawn Club, join that club as well. I mean, these are good clubs, and they do a lot of good things, and a lot of complimentary activities among us all. So we should really, considering what a night out would be, if you went to the movies and you realize that one club membership is cheaper than taking you and your beloved to the movies or even out to the diner. So, one night at the diner for two is probably what a year's membership in any one of these clubs are. You probably go to the diner more than a few times in a year. So think about that and consider joining a couple of clubs and support them, so they make our environment, our ecosystem, if you will, much richer. Take care and God bless. This is K2BAR. W2TTT, I'm Gordon, and 7-3, God bless.
WI2W, this is K2AMI.
K2AMI, WI2W.
Do you have a schedule tomorrow at all?
Pick a time.
For instance, are you going to be bothered to go to coffee tomorrow morning? Tomorrow is a Friday morning.
I will not be going to coffee.
Okay, that's fine. Sometime between 11:30 and 12, whatever's convenient for you.
All right, that's good. I'll how about 11:45? I'll meet you at your place.
Okay, thank you very much. Did your junk box produce anything useful?
Nothing more than a bag of parts at the moment. We'll see how tomorrow morning goes.
Okay. Don't sweat it. Just curious if you wanted to try something that you put together.
Well, it's not that big a deal of a project, so I hope to knock it off in the morning.
The time, go ahead. Don't worry about it, though. All right, we'll see you around 11:45.
Very good. K2AMI, WI2W.
WA2MTZ.
and forth.
What's up, Rocky? Just got off the train and the car, headed home. Same thing, different day. Just finished up bleeding a car out that I had to fabricate up a new brake line that rotted out.
Okay, very good. Looks like everything's going to be okay for the plan tomorrow, so I'll be sending you those chassis.
When you meet up with Charlie, today or tomorrow?
Later on today, he just wants the details private.
Oh, okay, where are you guys meeting up?
Top secret.
Oh, okay.
I'll text you later.
No problem. How was your night?
I'll tell you, up until 8 o'clock went really fast, and then the second half just really dragged.
I bet you're glad. You're off now. You don't go back into Sunday afternoon, right?
Affirmative.
Very good. All right, Steve, be careful out there on the road. I'll pick you up when you get home. I got to road test this truck, so we'll talk to you in a little bit. KD2, VOR.
Okay, Rocky, very good. I got a few ideas to look at concerning my rig, the HF. So I may have done something screwy in there, and I just have to retrace what I did and see if I can fix it. So, but I should pop out a little later and talk to Charlie at least, briefly. KB2 CIA.
Okay, very good. And I got your text, no problem. Like I said, I understand what you're saying, but whatever. The offer's always there, and we'll drop that subject for now. Katie, too, be aware.
You're a damn good guy, Rock. KB2 CIA. KB2 TIA Mobile QRT.
RCP, KD2 VOR.
KD2 VOR to RCP, return. How you doing there, Rocky?
I'm doing okay. I haven't heard from you lately. I figured I'd take a shot and throw your call sign out there. How you doing?
Just fooling around here, playing some solitaire on the computer and relaxing.
Yeah, my girlfriend's father does that all the time. Every time if he ain't playing with his pick and tickets, he's playing solitaire on the computer. And that's good at his age, especially up where he is. It keeps his mind active.
Yeah, well, yeah, it makes your mental stability alert. A few other games to play here too also, but I just happen to be doing this at this time.
Yeah, very good. What radio are you on? I just checked the reverse and you're hitting me full scale on the Solinko.
Well, right now around this season, the Wushan, 1 watt, course setting on the Yazoo 8900.
Okay, that explains it. Just for the heck of it, I hit the reverse, and I mean, you were coming in, the meter can't go any further.
Well, I just had the EHT set at 1 watt, and the cross thing at 10 watts.
W2TTT.
Yeah, acknowledge, Gordon. All right, John. Let's let Lord Gordon in there. I'll get back to you. W2TTT, KD2BOR, good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen. Yeah, just, I inadvertently left the volume up on the radio and heard it blaring from the third floor. I wasn't asleep, I was just watching TV, but I was laying in bed. So I figured I'd come up and say hello while I'm turning down the TV. This is radio sound. This is an, a TYT I bought a few years ago, and I pulled it out of the van, and it seems to be working just fine. I don't know why I pulled out of the van. I think I had a miswiring problem, but it seems to be pretty good. I even tried faraway repeaters on low power, and it was working fine earlier in the night. High power as well. So how copy now, Rocky?
Sounds good, but it sounds like you've got a fan or something running in the background. Is that a possibility?
Air conditioner and one, two. Yeah, there's two machines, maybe four machines with fans going. There's a lot of ventilation in my ham shack because of the way things are wired. You know, power supplies have fans in them. I just turned off one. Is that help that any?
It's not a problem. I just thought there was some fans. I have a 75 amp power supply at home that sounds like a jet plane's taking off when I turn that thing on, especially when it starts heating up. The unit makes the fans go faster.
No, I understand. In fact, I want to turn off the air conditioning. I mean, it's not an air conditioning mode, it's just blowing air, but no reason to do that this time of night. Who's the other station? My name's Gordon, W2TDD.
W2TDD. Of course, yeah, this is John. And to us to be, West Orange, New Jersey.
Well, very good, John. Well, I just dropped the air conditioning. So all you have are the radios that are in the racks. Probably not the radios, the computers that are in the racks, making a little air noise. Is that a lot better, Rocky?
Yeah, it's okay. You can still hear it, but it doesn't do anything to your audio or anything. Hey, you got to keep things cool. That keeps things from burning out. KD2BOR.
I was going to do it, but I think I may actually... I have a Motorola cabinet here. And I may actually put the front door on. Because the racks would still be cool. It's not that much heat. And I wouldn't have to listen to it all if I didn't want to. So maybe. We'll see. I'm taking a day off, and I'm going to strip off the roof rack and remove a few things from my van. No electronics left, just other add-on fixtures that I've put in over time, and I want to take them out and use them for something else. And then the van will be officially advertised as being available.
Yeah, I remember seeing that van when I came to your class about 2 years ago. That was a big van. I guess you got a lot of service out of that one.
Yeah, 380,000 miles.
another question. I guess you're going to be at the Ham Fest, huh? The Barra? I'm going to try to make that one.
Yep, that's a week from Saturday. Yep, I will be there. I don't know what I'm going to be selling. No poles are left. I mean, we can't get more. We should have just jumped on getting more immediately after we got the first load, but, you know, we weren't sure we'd get rid of, you know, 500 or 600 poles, and we certainly did.
Well, I know one person I talk to all the time that's very happy with them, WI2LYP Bill. He just calls them Gordon poles.
Gordon pole would be my wife, Nancy. She's the pole. Well, she's Polish, Ukrainian, and Russian by ancestry anyway.
Very good. Okay, I got to take a short break, Gordon. It was good hearing you in there. Maybe you want to pick it up with John. KD2, VOR.
Sure, no problem, Rocky. And, John, here this morning.
Bosch and 2RCP. Back to you, Gordon.
Okay. Yeah, I was working on a couple of things earlier in the week. I got some old equipment cases, and I basically took it and buried into it a monitor and a keyboard and a little Raspberry Pi computer and some other specialized goodies. It's kind of neat. But now we're in the mode of building up a couple of more. These are 18.5-inch monitors, and while I like having them loose, I think that mounted in the cases, they look better. It's pretty mean. A little yawn here, but the only problem is once you mount them in the case, you got to bring the whole case, but it makes it real convenient to transport them. You have to move them around, so we'll see. Amazingly enough, all my monitors here are sharp. They're all sharp. They're either sharp TVs or they're HP monitors. Makes for an interesting ham shack sometimes. Because the HP monitors can run on 12 volts, and a good portion of my computers can too.
Yeah, very good there, Gordon. Got a question for you. What's the best way to monitor your AC voltage where you have noise that might cause other problems? Should I just hook up and stuff to it?
I'm sorry, what are you trying to do?
Experience. I don't know whether it's coming from the AC line or what, but try to figure out the noise coming in. You think the best bet will be hook up an oscilloscope to the AC line?
Yeah, maybe. What kind of noise, or what frequency is he hearing the noise on?
A frequency counter. That's why I was thinking about hooking up an oscilloscope.
Okay, so I'm a little unclear here. You want to watch for the noise on the oscilloscope, and what frequency are you hearing the noise on?
I have no understanding of what frequency. It seems like it's a variation of frequencies. That's where I want to find out.
Okay, but are you hearing it here on 2 meters?
No, not at this moment. No, no. has to do with interference with